harvest is happy time. It's a time to rejoice. The all-consuming fire, obviously Mary has been tasting for several weeks. But the first scripture that I want you to go to is in Romans chapter 16. So we're going to first ask God for his grace. So Father, right now, we're asking for your grace, that this word would be alive, so that our brothers and sisters who listen to this will be transformed and set free because of God's grace for this feast, in Jesus' name. Now these are days of awe, and in Romans 16, St. Paul is giving us quite a message. In verse 20. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. Try it on. Are you ready? The God of peace will soon crush Satan under our feet. See, everybody's trying to fight him, and he's already been defeated. He's already been exposed, and he can't win anything. And many, many of years, I was living in that same war, thinking he was the bull, and I was the bullfighter, until I realized that the work was already done. I want you to go to 1 Peter 1, verse 18 and 20. Because the other coordinates will show you a little bit of why he's already been placed under your feet. 1 Peter 1, 18. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, but with precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained. Foreordained. Meaning he was prepared before the foundations of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you and me. So, recognizing that Jesus had already been prepared to take care. Thus Satan had not frustrated, nor had he defeated the purpose of God. His laugh was in vain, and the Lord will yet have the last laugh. The wisdom of God is seen in the fact that he will use the very ones whom Satan thought he had defeated to defeat him. So you might have thought that you were in a war, and all the time you were in victory. Walking in that victory is where you need to go. Now Ephesians chapter 3, verses 9 through 11. Ephesians 3, 9. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world has been hidden in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. So everything that was created was by him. Amen? Amen. To the intent that now to the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known and exposed. Guess who's going to expose him? Us. The church. By the church, the manifold wisdoms of God according to the eternal purpose. Notice again, it's something that was prepared before. His purpose is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So the principalities are waiting to be exposed on a next level by the church. How? Well, first of all, by the spoken word, by the power of the fire of the Lord, not by you and me screaming and yelling, but trusting in God. Again, going back now, Romans 16:20, the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. The Lord could have zapped Satan and brought all the sufferings in the world to an end, but he had something higher in mind, for which he had been patiently preparing his church. So what is he doing right now? He's preparing us to walk in new places, not to be submissive to all the stuff that's around us that tries to control and push us around and make us feel like a piece of dirt. And notice he's going to work on your feelings. He's going to work on your emotions. Ephesians 6:12 and verse 11 as well. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities and against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So it is there, but it cannot touch you. Why? The principalities and powers, fallen angels, who became the rulers of darkness of this world, gained control through the transgressions of Adam. And they dramatically influenced the nations of this world. However, as we approach the end time, their control and influence is about to be challenged. By whom? By the church. Many years ago, while walking through Times Square in New York City, I noticed a man who had attracted considerable attention. He was standing on a box, loudly proclaiming that there was no God. And guess what? Nothing happened. So he said, yeah, I proved it. There's a time coming down the road where this kind of mockery to our God will not be able to be done. It won't happen because the church is going to rise. Now you say, well, why are you telling me all this? I'm trying to tell you that one of the reasons the church is not functioning is because she's backbiting constantly. She's finding fault with herself. The saints are finding fault with themselves. And they're finding fault with each other. So take a deep breath right now and say, tighten my seatbelt. Galatians 5:15. Galatians 5:15. This may give you an open door to understand how the darkness has been able to neutralize the church. If you keep on biting and devouring each other, watch out or you will be destroyed by each other. And believe me, for 20 years, I ran a prayer line that covered all of New England and a greater part of the U.S., even into Canada and some of the islands. And I heard every complaint under the sun about pastors and about elders and about deacons and about this and about that and about their neighbor and about this one doing it wrong and that one doing it wrong. Biting each other, eating each other, devouring each other. The enemy doesn't have to do a thing. There's no love. And it starts with you loving yourself. Love your neighbor as I have loved you. And love your neighbor as what? Yourself. So the beginning has to be a flow of love from the Holy Spirit flowing through you to yourself first. Because while you're upset with yourself constantly, what are you doing? You're hating and you're bickering and you're short-circuiting your own authority. You cannot function as a lover and have a relationship with a sweetheart that you think you're going to marry, finding fault with her or finding fault with him, being the future groom. That happens about a year and a half later. When all the problems begin to, I didn't think she got up at that time of the morning. 3 hours in the bathroom? Wait a minute, this is way overboard. Catching on? It starts in the homes and it travels into the church. It goes in the car. And you'll find that the worst person that gets criticized mostly is you. By you. Because the accuser's on your case. What am I trying to tell you? You can short circuit the darkness and all the principalities by letting yourself know. Jesus already forgave me. He washed me clean with the blood of the Lamb. And Romans 8:1 says there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ. Either you're in or you're out. And if you're in, you're going to pick up your brother's problem. And you're going to bring it to the Lord. You're going to see your sister doing something wrong and you're going to go to Jesus and you're going to say, Lord, how can I help? How can I intercede for that one that's falling apart? And in the process, when the love flow begins to get stronger and stronger, no one will be able to enter into the house of the Lord. No one. No darkness. But while there's division, and while there's anger at yourself and at your neighbor, it's because you are legally expecting them to be something they're not. Amen? And your expectations need to be put on the altar. And let the fire of God burn that up. They might not be perfect like you and me. They might need a little bit of adjustment. Amen? And if they do, it's okay. God can do it. It's not your job. I don't remember Jesus saying, go out and become a teacher to your brother. He said, be an example. Do what I did. Wash their feet. And most Christians don't want to wash their feet. Why their feet? Because that's what gets dirty. You're walking in all kinds of stuff. My sister went around washing feet tonight with spiritual product. You're walking out clean. If you start trampling on yourself before you go to bed tonight, please forgive yourself quickly and get back on track. You'll find that you'll rest a lot better. And if you're not angry with yourself, you won't be angry with your neighbor. And if you're in love with you, as Jesus was with you, that love flow will transition into your home and into those around you. And your priesthood will develop very quickly. The other night, it was about 3:05 a.m. And the Lord had pressed me to get up because there was something that needed to be dealt with. And we had company. And it wasn't to be when others were up. So I was up between 3 and 4. And as I was getting out of bed, my wife says, are you getting up again? Now, of course, it's because, you know, I obviously woke her up when I was trying to get up. And I gave her a kiss on the cheek and I said, somebody's got to pray for you. And she says, do it. Do it. That's what you should be hearing. Just do it. Don't question it. Oh, it's 3 a.m. I can't do it now. Baloney, you can't do it now. If Jesus could get up in the middle of the night and go to the mountain and intercede and pray, you can do it. And you know, I was reminded of something. I got a lot of people, oh, I can't do this because I might lose. I might this and I might that. When the Holy Spirit came into my life, I had a business to run. I had 2 kids in the house, 2 teenagers. I had my father-in-law living with us. The house was full. I had 13 apartments, or excuse me, 15 apartments at that time, and a business to run, and I was studying the Word until 3 a.m. most nights. And I was ready to go to work, usually around 6:30, quarter to 7. So what's your excuse? See, there's no excuse. If God gives you the grace to do it, you have not got an excuse. Oh, I need my sleep. Baloney. God can fill in your blanks. Oh my God, I am stepping on somebody's toes. Look at your neighbor. Say, God can fill in your blanks. Whatever blanks you have. Whatever weakness. Whatever lack of sleep. God can make it up. If you simply obey. That's it. Amen? And the enemy's under your feet. You don't need to worry. He can't do a thing to you when you're in love with the world and his creation. Last verse. John 3:16. For God so loved the world. Try it on. For God so loved the world. All those people on Wall Street, yes. How about Main Street, yes. How about Capitol Building, yes. How about White House, yes. Boston, yes. He gave up his son for every one of them. Not just for you and me. And if you think you're the elite, you are the washers of their feet. That's your commission. You are the one to wash their feet. Forgive them, set them free, and intercede until they change. And while you're at it, who do you think is going to get changed? It's me. And if you've got kids that are unruly, pray for the neighbors. You say, what do you mean? Pray for the neighbors' kids. Because while you're praying for them, God will deal with yours. I've seen it happen. Because your own are too close to you emotionally. And what will happen is you'll end up being a judge. And they need a mother and a father and lovers. Not critics. And most Christian men and women treat their kids worse than they treat the neighbors. The neighbors never do anything wrong, but the kids are constantly trying to readjust so that they can please mom and dad and get a little bit of love. Hardly notice when they do it wrong. 1 Corinthians 13. Love hardly notices when they do it wrong. That's Christ Jesus in his spirit. He hardly notices when you do it wrong. Close your eyes. Father, I thank you. This word will be carried along with grace and not a critic. It's not to condemn. It's to set free those that have been bound by the laws that were already taken care of on that tree. And all of God's people said, Amen. Amen. So share some love with each other. That's your commission.